Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of
what's
the
up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, after the greatest game ever played in professional sports and, of course, professional football. The first overtime game ever in the history of the Super Bowl, and the biggest comeback ever in the history of the Super Bowl. And, of course, why? Who better than the Patriots to go ahead and take care of that? And I have to say that, as an American, I found the entire evening a pleasure to watch. I thought from the from the pregame show to the coin toss with 41 George Bush and his wife, former First Lady Barbara Bush, to the halftime show of Lady Gaga, who personally I don't care for, but and was concerned that she would deliver a message that would not have been very good, who nailed it and drove home a point that I think that all Americans should take to heart, and that is, at the end of the day, we are one America, and that we should not have all of this stuff between us. We should not have all of these issues while we have a new president, and that it should just be, let's make America great now, and if we don't like who we have, we can move on. But I thought her rendition of America the Beautiful was tremendous. I thought that the entire evening was totally bipartisan, and hats off to Vice President Mike Pence, who brought two veterans to the game as his guest. I think that was a display. The whole evening was a display of America and the America that we love, as we stand beside her and guide her. And I think that, you know, this was what it should be all about. And I couldn't be happier with the result, because I did predict the New England Patriots, but I could also not be happier with everything that did go on throughout the evening, and it became exactly what it should have been, a sporting event, not a political statement. And to me, that is what makes America great, is the ability now to hopefully move on and not have the issues separating us. And of course, I'm sure that we'll be back to the same old stuff after that, but again, my hat's off to everybody involved, and you couldn't help but have a chill run down your spine when President George Bush, 41, was out there, rolled out in the wheelchair and flipped the coin, and the beginning, the national anthem, God Bless America, and Lady Gaga. It was all just a very special treat. And at least for a couple of hours, took everybody's mind off of the crap that's being done with the Muslim ban, to the idiots, and I will call them, although they're very smart people, very rich people, but the idiots from all the major tech companies trying to file suit against the ban and against President Trump. Again, I don't understand why we have these issues. First of all, from a legal standpoint, they're incorrect, number one. Number two, the thing is being done for America itself, to try to defend our country and to make it somewhere safe and where we want to be, not what it's become, where we have to be afraid. Again, I think the process that, Donald Trump is trying to bring back is the ability to vet these people and to have only people in this country that want to be in this country for good and not for the bad. So, you know, as we go through it, we continue to, you know, have great things, that great potential. And it's exciting that hopefully maybe a sporting event will bring America together again and eliminate a lot of the crap. I'm sure it won't, but that would be, it's always a nice thought. And that is one thing about being an American, is you always have hope that something good can come, and hopefully we will see something good come from this. So, you know, as we look, and of course, we saw the jobs numbers on Friday, which were okay. Okay, they weren't great, but they were okay. And that was the end of President Obama's administration, and, you know, giving you the jobs numbers and the beginning of Trump. And hopefully this is a start of moving on and creating jobs and creating the abilities to make money for everybody. And hopefully this is the start of a more prosperous America that we all want it to be, because at the end of the day, we all need to make a living. We all need to pay our bills. We all need health care. And we all have, from a just a material standpoint, the same type of goals, which is to take care of our families. So hopefully, you know, we will get moving along in that direction, and we can quit with all of the ridiculous nonsense from the idiocy of guys like Jeff Bezos and Tim Cook and people like that who feel compelled to stand in the way and piss away millions and millions and millions of dollars on things that, A, they should not be able to win anyways, and B, that have nothing to do with making America great again. And I have to tell you, I mean, I'd really like to see them get it stuck up their ass, because I think that they have gone way too far with their protesting and their mouths, and because they do have a big following. And of course, Bezos owns the Washington Post, which is a joke in its own right. But hopefully, you know, we will get it to get stuck up their, you know, rear ends, and we can move on to the real issues at hand, which is putting America back to work again, reducing the debt in America, to creating affordable health care for everyone, to, as Donald Trump says, making America great. I just think that, you know, we can get there, we can do it, but we do need help from every American, not just the ones on the right or the ones on the left, but everyone. And that is what we should be, is one America, as we move and we transfer the power from one to another. And hopefully, this could hopefully be the start, because again, my hat's off to Lady Gaga, although I don't care for her. I thought her message was tremendous, and I give her a big hearty congratulations. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and when you miss an episode, Liberty, libertytalk.fm. We'll get you the download of The Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, my new podcast via TV, via video, Bubba's Bottom Line, can be found at bubbatrading.com every single week. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I will be right back at the break with Jane King from Lila Mac Media. Yeah. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly an A.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, with Jane King, the one, the only, the extremely talented Latinx Media Ka-Ching Report. She does it all. What's up, Jane?
Well, I'm just recovering from that game last night. Absolutely amazing. I stayed up and watched every second. I can't believe that I did that. I'm glad I did, though. I can take a nap and recover, but boy, that was a really amazing Super Bowl.
Did you go right to work after the game? You probably didn't go to sleep, right?
No, I slept for a couple hours, but I think I went to sleep a little bit after 11 and got in here about 2:30. So I'm running on fumes this morning, but it was really, I mean, so, and I wasn't really, like, I don't really follow the Patriots. I don't really follow the Falcons. It was just so exciting to watch the game.
I mean, you know what? I will say this, and I think that this is important. I thought it was exciting. The pregame was exciting. I thought 41, George Bush and Barbara Bush, was unbelievable to have them come out there for the game. And as much as I don't like Lady Gaga, I thought she did a phenomenal job with America the Beautiful or Godless America. And I was so happy that she left her political views at home and just really represented one America at the Super Bowl. I thought that was like 3 hours of no politics and nothing crazy going on where nobody was making political statements. What'd you think?
Oh, no, it was wonderful. I mean, I was at a party. I mean, everybody was like, thank God she didn't say anything. I mean, everybody's so sick of hearing the celebrities and the protests. I mean, this is in a New York Super Bowl cocktail party, and everybody's sick of it. So, and I think I do want to mention, you know, just because I work in the TV industry, Fox did a great job. I mean, they're really the ones that produced and put that on and kept it tight. And the overall just production theme of it, the patriotism, just the unification, you know, the former president coming out. I mean, all that really starts with Fox, and I think that they just did a great job on the Super Bowl last night.
I agree. I thought it was a great event, and obviously the greatest game in history, you know, to this point. And but it was really great, and I thought that, you know, nobody talked about Mike Pence, but he brought two veterans with him to the game as his guest. And I thought that was pretty cool as well. I mean, you know, that he didn't have to do that. I mean, I thought it was really a pretty neat thing that he did that as well. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, really, the troops were really like the stars. They had, they were live in Afghanistan, I believe. And it's just, the Super Bowl was actually like, when I was watching it last night, I was just thinking, you know, everything's going to be okay. You know, all this insanity is just going to kind of go away at some point, and everything's going to be fine. And maybe we're going to be stronger for it, which would be awesome.
Okay, so you think it's all going to go away. But now, I have to ask you, you know, we've got Jeff Bezos and Tim Cook and a lot of the other major CEOs, you know, trying to take Trump to court, and which Trump is right. I mean, he actually has the law on his side for what he did. Do you have any thoughts on the ban that he did? And what are your thoughts of what Bezos and those guys are doing?
Well, I'll start with the second question first. So I've been thinking for a long time that these people who run companies just need to stay out of politics. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get why Howard Schultz gets involved. I don't get why Tim Cook gets involved. You're alienating half of the United States with your comments. And they turned out to be wrong on this stuff. They turned out to severely misjudge where the public is. I mean, Howard Schultz with his hiring the 10,000 refugees, and I'm sure his heart's in the right place. But then people came back and said, why not hire 10,000 out-of-work Americans? I mean, it's like, boom, good point. I mean, did he never think of that? And so I just, like, I don't understand why these CEOs keep getting involved in this stuff. I mean, if there's an issue that directly affects your business, like trade or like the visa program, then it's something to handle in a mature way, but not the stuff like Jeff Bezos sending Donald Trump on a rocket. And I mean, come on. I mean, I can't believe these are the leaders in our society and the way everybody's behaving. So that's what I think about that. In terms of the visa program, this is something they've actually felt strongly about for a long time, way before Trump came on the scene, making that H-1B visa easier to get. What I don't get about the travel ban is, I guess it wasn't explained well enough. And, you know, maybe at the time of the signing of the executive order, it would have made a lot of sense for somebody from the administration, even the president himself, to come out with some kind of written statement and just explaining why and what it was about. Because everybody just freaked out. I mean, he doesn't understand that everybody's, you know, a lot of people are very emotional, and it leads to a lot of problems. And it's a distraction and lawsuits and things like that. So I hope he comes out, and I don't want him to change his beliefs, but maybe explain them better. I think would go a long way. It'd be just a lot better use of time to do that. So, and the ban is temporary. It's based, as I understand it, on State Department intelligence about where terrorist activity is going on. So I'm not totally against it. So I don't know. I just think he needs to explain things a little bit better and put everybody's minds at ease. Explain why he's doing it would have been a good idea.
You don't like it just flying from the seat of his pants like he's running his own company?
What happens is, so let's just, this scenario. So it happened. He signed the thing. All hell broke loose. I mean, I just think he underestimates the emotional fragility of half of the American public. They don't understand it. They feel victimized. They feel persecuted against. So I think he needs to come out and explain those things. And it's just a waste of time. And now we got lawsuits and judges and this and that, and people are protesting. Everybody's angry and relationships are torn apart. And I think if he'd come out and in a very kind of legal, judgely way, explain what was behind it and why. At the moment, he does it because I get the whole thing. Like, you don't want to tell everybody it's coming. I think that would calm down, not everybody, but a lot of people.
And then, of course, we had the on the jobs report on Friday, and it was the end of Obama's administration into the beginning of Trump. And numbers were pretty good, but we're still missing in a lot of areas. What were your thoughts of the jobs?
Well, the number was good. I thought the wage growth was the thing that everybody was so worried about. That's still really slow. So that tells us the job market's not really where it should be. It was the end of Obama's term, beginning of Trump's, but some of that built in, I think, was people anticipating some jobs. They're typically December and January, not big hiring months, at least the first half of January. So I think the report was actually pretty good. I hope these continue.
And, we had the, I guess, what would you call it? Not the repealing, but the executive order against Dodd-Frank and things, and the, obviously the banks have been very strong. And of course, I'm a believer that there is way too much regulation, and that it will free up money, and especially for your family, not necessarily your family, but people in the Midwest, farmers, where the community banks are a main staple, and they become so overregulated. So I think this is very good. Are you of the same belief of that, or you think that the Dodd-Frank should stay in place the way it is?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think Dodd-Frank should stay in place the way it is. No, it's been a problem. I mean, they just, like we do so many times, overreacted to a crisis. And that was a true crisis. And just told the banks, you have to have this amount of money sitting on your books. And you just can't, and so what they did was didn't loan anything. And they had all this money sitting around. And, banks really, should be loaning. I mean, maybe the prop trading stuff, that needs to be controlled somewhat. But banks should be lending to small businesses. I mean, that's, anybody who can tell you, you need to buy a new piece of equipment, or you want to expand to a second location or something. A lot of times you're going to need a bank loan. So hopefully they'll be able to rewrite that law with some common sense and help grow the small business economy.
Well, no, I mean, obviously, you and I both know, because we're small businesses ourselves, that we are actually the backbone of America anyways. I mean, small business is the backbone that builds, that brings better jobs, more jobs, and continues to help America grow. And without it, it makes it much more of a challenge. And I'm hoping that we continue on this route, because at the end of the day, it's what it's all about. Don't you think so?
Yeah. I mean, every big business was once a small business. I mean, Apple didn't start out being, worth $800 billion. I mean, it was in a garage. And companies and banks have to be able to work together. They have to be able to lend money prudently, allow companies to grow, to hire, to expand, to buy equipment. I mean, it's just, it's how the economy works. It's how it's worked for decades. And Dodd-Frank was just an overreaction to a crisis. And hopefully that'll all get kind of readjusted now.
You got 15 seconds. Tell us about the Financial Literacy Podcasting.
Okay, so we just released a new one with the New York Times personal finance writer, and he gives all kinds of great advice about like allowances and tooth fairies and birthday parties and all that stuff that we parents struggle with all the time. So it's really great. Ka-ching with Jen King on iTunes and Google Play.
Awesome, Jen King. Thank you so much. We always love having
Thanks,
you on.
Dad.
This is the Bubba Show, Top of Horrors. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you right after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the man who's got his own theories and his own way of charting and really brings many, many good calls to The Bubba Show. And Matt, what's up, my brother?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
I'm doing great. So, you know, we've got a market that has been explosive again, and interesting enough, we had a you know, Friday on the jobs number, and who knows why it was up, but it was up fairly solid, and we've got all kinds of things going on. But what are the charts telling you? And I know that you've been slightly bullish, figuring that we might get one more pop up here, and is this it, or do we continue to go?
Well, I think we could expect this week something similar to last week. I mean, we'll probably get more chop, and then we'll get another push higher. That's what I'm looking for. I think we're grinding to, another 4% higher in the Dow, the S&P. NASDAQ's got a little bit more, I think, as we talked about, maybe about 5.5% now. That's what's about left there, I think. Some of the other global indices, though, they've already seemed to peaked out. Like we talked about, Euro Stoxx 50 and our Russell 2000, they really don't look like they have a whole lot left.
So you look and you see, and of course, obviously, as the volume, the rallies continue, the volume dries up and the volatility is drying up. And of course, we're testing like 10-year lows now in the VIX. And does that mean anything in your overall work when you look at those things?
Yeah, that's really big. Yeah, the commercials have been adding to their VIX positions big time. They are at close to all-time records in their VIX futures positions. The skew in VIX options is massive, meaning that the prices paid for calls are drastically higher than for VIX puts at the money calls and puts. And volatility is just so low. It's a very dangerous environment. I think we're going to go higher, as I said. I think we're going to grind higher, and it's just going to become more extreme. But when this thing – it could go a little bit early too. I don't know. I can't be sure about that. But I do think we're going to grind a little bit higher. But when that top hits, I think the move down will be very volatile. So it's a dangerous situation to just get in long and party to the top. I don't think it's going to be – it may not be that simple.
No, of course, it's never that simple. And of course, markets have their own way of doing something. And of course, I personally believe, obviously, I know you're basically purely a chart reader. And of course, I agree with that theory and how you read the charts. But I do believe that it will be a news item that will start the sell off. And it's obviously not going to be, in my opinion, an economic piece of news. It will be something geopolitical that'll create a little fear in the street. And then before we know it, they'll start the selling will start. But of course, markets don't go straight up or straight down. I think the key will be to watch for is when we get the bigger sell-off, and of course, you know, we've been in the tightest range in history, you know, in the Dow, tied with volatility. I mean, less than a 2% range up and down. And when we do get it, I think the key will be not the actual initial sell-off, but will be the rally that comes back to it, and where does it rally to? And if it starts to make lower highs and lower lows, I think that will be the indication that we are definitely on the way lower. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the case. You usually get that first, you know, that first big dip, and then you get a bounce back up, and that's, and then usually that's the, that second one's the one you want to short. In our case, we just have very, we're going to try to short the exact top. So that's what we do. But yeah, that'll be confirmation that highs are in, and that we're either going into a severe, maybe a, something more like a crash as opposed to a drawn out bear market. It's kind of hard to say right now, but based upon what we're talking about with volatility, I do think, you know, there's a good potential for a very rapid sell off, because of the, you know, the volatility positions being held out there. And then from there, we'll see whether, you know, we get, you know, sort of a more of a bear market, or we get, you know, a rapid turnaround. Who knows what central banks are going to do? If they try to come to the rescue again, who knows? Maybe it's the whole cycle starts all over again.
No, yeah. I mean, of course, I don't think the central banks have many bullets left in their gun. In my personal opinion, I think that everybody's starting to realize now that the central banks are full of crap, and that the inflation target they keep aiming for is really just so that you and I can pay more taxes and they can bring back that money that they created. But that's a story for another day. So you basically, let's make sure everybody understands what you're doing. So you are more of a position trader, and you're looking to pick the exact top or bottom of a market, and you're going to sit there and hold through that and then use a stop above or below to take yourself out if indeed it happens to be the wrong trade. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's right. And the one that we've kind of been public about is the Russell 2000, where we think 1400 is the top. And, you know, there's going to be some wiggle room, a little bit of a margin of error there, but, you know, fairly small margin of error, say 10 points on either side. So we've, you know, we've already gotten up to 1389 in the Russell. So we've, and that was on December 9th. So, you know, that index is pretty much peaking out. It's either done or it's got a little bit more to go. And so that's why we've focused our shorts on Russell 2000 right now. So yeah, we do try to pick the exact, you know, highs and lows.
Now, how are you shorting the Russell? What is your make? How do you go about shorting the Russell?
Well, we could either do, well, we are doing Russell futures, and we also do IWM. It just depends on you know, the situation and who, you know, who's trading.
Okay, and so you're looking for that, and so you're looking for a little bit bigger move in of course the Nasdaq. You've been bullish all along, and of course it continues to go higher, and it does look like the best of all the indexes. And now we're starting to see, you know, a minor breakout in the Dow and the S&P. You know, I wouldn't get, you know, I'm personally not really excited about the breakout, because I thought that, you know, Friday the inability to make new highs was kind of, you know, a little bit weak to me based on how strong the overall market was. But of course the Nasdaq was able to overcome horrible earnings. Well, I don't know if they weren't bad earnings, but a 40-point down move by Amazon, and, you know, a lot of weakness in the tech, yet the Nasdaq continues to push higher. And you know, what's your target on the Nasdaq? How high do you think it can go?
Well, somewhere just south of 6,000 on the Nasdaq Composite. That's the one I'm following, as opposed to the Nasdaq 100. So yeah, just about just a little bit south of 6,000, and so, you know, that gives us about 5.5% left. Yeah, and then I think we're gonna, you know, get a big sell off. The we've been watching VXX as a because I like to find data I get out of it. It decays like crazy, but it does provide the chart patterns I need. So we were looking for a rising target there in VXX. We're in the, I think 19, I don't have it in front of me, but we're in the low 19s right about now, and we were looking for a bottom in the 15s, but that's rising by about a point per month. So, you know, I'm looking for this, you know, this big sell-off should occur. The meeting of price and this line should be within a couple months. So we're looking for a big sell-off probably by the end of April.
Now, the one concern I have with the VXX is that it decays. Are you at all concerned that that'll go to – it'll get low enough, will the reverse split it again for the 95th time?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, again, this is, you know, we're using VXX as just, you know, it's a timing mechanism. It's a charting mechanism for me. It's not something we necessarily want to, you know, trade in and out of. But unless we were doing it from the short side, because like you say, it just decays, you know, so much that, you know, what we're thinking is once we do get a big sell-off and VXX spikes to the upside, it might be a great short once we, you know, feel that, you know, it's peaked out, because if you just hold that thing short over the long run, you do great.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a big option decaying. And of course, the banks have been on fire and going like basically to the moon. You see the banks continuing at this pace and continue going higher like this?
I think maybe a little bit longer. You know, just because the markets are as a whole are going up. And also, I think rates have room to tick a little bit higher, because I'm looking at our treasuries chart and we have a little bit more room to the downside. We're already at the December lows, and I think we could go push a little bit lower in treasuries. Therefore, rates go higher, and that helps, you know, the financials to a degree. But then I think the banks are going to suffer. Once I think rates are going to come down drastically once the stocks sell off.
No, I understand that. And you did call, and to your credit, you did call the end of the bond future bull market. And, of course, you called for higher rates when they were at the actual absolute tip top. I think it was back in July. When the bond futures were trading like 177 or something in that nature. So I want to talk more about that when we come back from the break, because I think that was, first of all, a great call, and you've made many great calls here, but I think that's a important thing to understand and how you figured that out. And this is The Bubba Show. We're with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, who brings all of his information to the show all the time, and I mean pretty much spot on as a regular basis. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And our new feature, Bubba's Bottom Line, is now available at bubbatrading.com. So make sure you check that out. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back after the break with more from Matt. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, so you know, before the break, I was talking about your absolute stone high call and the end of the bull market in treasury bonds, which meant the end of the bear market in rates. And are you still of that same opinion? I know you're looking for a little bit of a bounce here in futures, which means a drop in rates. But your overall longer term call, what are you looking for?
The overall longer term call, I still say we're now in a secular bear market in treasuries. But you know, with trading, there's a short term, there's a medium term, and there's a long term. In the very, very short term, I can see in the very short term in treasuries where I'm still a little bit bearish. But in the medium term, I'm bullish. I think we're going to get the stock market sell off. We're going to get a big rally, I think, in treasuries back up, you know, maybe not all the way back up to the prior highs, but that's possible. And then I think it'll be another great opportunity after that bounce to short treasuries again for, you know, the remainder of the secular bear market.
And now you've been, negative the dollar. And of course, it looks awful right now. It's come down to that, you know, par level, and you know, not dipping below, but kind of hanging out around par from, you know, the 104 level. What do you look for in the dollar here now?
Dollar, it's somewhat oversold. It's not, you know, oversold enough yet. I think it's still, you know, on its move down. We have a target, you know, right around 99, where there's clear support. There's just below 99, and then And then we're looking for 93.5, let's say, as the next big support target. So I'm just looking at the for right now, we're just looking for a little bit lower. We'll see what happens when we get to about this just below 99, see if we can get a bounce out of there. But if that breaks, then we're headed down to the like mid 94 area.
Okay. And of course, and that goes into tie in with your long euro call, obviously, mm-hmm. because euro is 60% of the dollar index. And what's your target on the upside for the euro? I know you called the bottom at 103.5, and now we're at about 107.5. What's your call there?
I think we're looking at 112 in the euro, and so that sort of fits roughly with what we're looking for in the dollar. Once we get to 112, it's going to run into some resistance. We'll see how it handles that resistance, if it pulls back, in a big way or a small way. And but I think we could actually go quite a bit higher in the euro. And but I'm not going to. I don't want to. I want to deal with 112 first. That's where I'm looking for. And once we see the reaction to 112, then we'll have an idea what it's going to do next.
Now, we don't often talk about the pound, but the pound has been kind of quite volatile lately. Any thoughts on the British pound?
Yeah. In the very short term, I think we could head further back. We could go back down again. Longer term, I'm really bullish the pound. I think purchasing power parity is at 144, which we're well off of, and we don't have any real serious resistance until we get to about 129, and we're at 120, right around 125, just below as of today. So I think in the very short term we could probably get a little more downside, but then I think we're headed up towards the 129 area, and eventually I think it should get to purchasing power parity, which is up in the 140s.
And it makes sense to me. I mean, again, you see these ridiculous moves, and typically what happens when you get a move that is overshot either up or down, the subsequent reversal typically goes a lot farther than anybody thinks it's going to go, because they've gotten so many people either long or short, and that typically is what drives the market. And of course, the agricultural space has been, hogs have remained fairly strong, and I know that you were getting a little bit bearish last week, and of course it looked like there was a big squeeze going on between the February and the April, and I think that squeeze now looks over. What's your take on the hog market, sir?
Well, hogs broke out of we had a bearish pattern, and it held for a week, and then it broke. So it's broken out for us, and now it should run. We're about 70.2 right now. I think we're going to go up to about 75 or so. I think it's got more to run. It's got more upside to go now because it's broken out. Cattle was fairly negative, and it's had a little bit more of a dip than hogs did, and it's also got a bigger commercial short position in cattle. So, but I think they've probably both done enough as far as consolidating or moving down that they can now move up again. They're still, but the thing is, they're still overbought, and the commercials are still fighting it. They're still layering on shorts, so. We have more upside, I think, in the short term, but it's not something. I think in medium term we will get another sell off, but we're probably looking at maybe 2 weeks from today or three weeks away, something like that.
And how does the how do the grain markets look there?
Grain markets are tough for me. I mean, they're bouncing between short term resistance and short term support levels that for me, they're difficult to trade because the moves are you have to follow very closely, which you do. I know you focus closely on the grain markets, but I'm more of a metals person and a stock indices person, so that's where I'm placing my focus. But they can be traded well. It's just for me, the short term moves are difficult in the grains, but. Bigger picture, I don't think soybeans or corn have bottomed. I think wheat potentially has bottomed. So on a relative basis, I'm bullish wheat and bearish both corn and soybeans for the longer term.
And right you've been, because Weed has been the best performer out of the green space over the last 6 or 7 months. So now, you know, as we look into, you know, the general markets, does the lack of volume at all concern you now in the general markets? I mean, is that something that you're looking at as well, or it doesn't really matter? It doesn't play into the work that you do?
I don't follow volume that closely, and you know, it doesn't really bother me very much. I'm looking just purely at price. Price tells me everything I need to know for my methods. It's what works. You know, volume as a vote of confidence, you know, I suppose it makes some sense. And the volume on the way, you know, if the volume on the way up is weak, that seems fine to me. I mean, you know, the commercials, the smart money commercials are layering into shorts on every move up. And it's really, I think, more, you know, retail that's pushing things up. So that makes sense to me as far as, you know, light volume.
And then, of course, lastly but not leastly, the gold markets, they seem to have run up to about 1225 is a pretty good resistance area. And we've now developed a little bit of a consolidation pattern. You know, somewhere, let's say 1215 to 1225. Do they break above that, or is it now time to see them come down a little bit?
Yeah, this one's tough. I mean, I think gold. Yeah, gold's right along this this rising pivot line. That's an issue. It started off at around 1220, and it's slowly rising. It's gotten up to 1228 as of today, I think. I want to see gold punch above 1230 at least. Maybe, you know, 1232, 1233, just to, you know, give me some sense it's going to go further. If it does that, then I think it can get to its 200-day moving average, which is about 1274. I think we could get to about that level, and then we could see from there. But right here around, you know, just under that pivot line, I don't want to be long. I prefer to be short and then stop out on a breakout.
And oil, as we come to the closure, but oil, you've been, you know, not overly bullish oil, but thinking that it was going to go up. And of course, your targets are dropping down, I think, about 10 cents a day.
Yeah. Oil is extremely bearish as far as the commercial positioning. They continue to add to their positions, which means they're hitting new all-time records each week from the COTs. And we're almost at my first declining target, which is about 55 and change right about now. And so we just started layering into shorts.
All right. Well, that's what happens when the markets go down. I don't mean to cut you short, but this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Damon. And Matt, as always, thanks for coming on.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as now Bubba's Bottom Line at BubbaTrading.com. That'll do it for today. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Turn the noise down. Let the soul.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.